Hello, everybody. This is Parshas Re'e, and the Parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael, Re'e Anoichi Noisin Lifneichem Hayoim, Bracha Uklala. I'm putting in front of you blessings and curses, and I want you to see that, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Re'e, you got to see that. And the question all the Mepharshim ask is that there's nothing really to see. You're not showing them anything. You're telling them something. Say, Shema Yisrael, here. What's Re'e? What's see? And the second question the Mepharshim struggle with is, the language of re'e is usually a singular language. I'm talking to one person, I say re'e. When I'm talking to a group, I say re'u. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu choosing the singular language when literally, four words later, Moshe Rabbeinu says, lifneichem, before you, which is plural? Why the switch? So the Bar Yosef explains as follows. He says, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, Amem HaMaveis, that a person always has to look at himself in life. La'olam yira adam atzma ki'ilu, his chatziv chai v'chatziv zakai. A person always has to look at life as if right now, this moment, his merits and his averus are exactly 50-50. He's on the brink right now. Whichever way he goes right now, that will be the game changer. If he does a mitzvah right now, that will tip the scales to the right. If he does an averus, he'll tip the scales to the left. And the Gemara takes it a step further, says the Gemara. It's not just for your own personal sake you're supposed to look like it's 50-50. But the whole world, says the Gemara, a person should view that the whole world is hanging in the balance right now. And it could just be that he's the guy who's going to tip the scales to the right or to the left. Says the Bar Yosef, we know that later on in Parshas Kisav, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell Klal Yisrael that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have a ceremony. They're going to have six shvatim go up on one mountain, another six shvatim go up on another mountain, and the Levim will stand in the middle, and they're going to read these blessings and curses. To Klal Yisrael, they're going to say, if you do A, B, C, D right, you're going to get blessings. You do it wrong, you're going to get curses. And the reason for that ceremony, says the Bar Yosef, was that everyone in Klal Yisrael had to visualize this thing. That you have two halves of Klal Yisrael on two mountains, and everything's in the balance right now. We're 50-50. Whatever I do can tip the scales. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael right now, Re'e, you got to see, you have to keep that vision that you're going to have of these two halves of Klal Yisrael on two mountains. You have to keep it alive by you. You constantly have to see it, that there's really bracha and klala right in front of you. There's two options for you and for the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it's singular because it's Re'e, it's to each individual. But he has the ability to tip the scales for the Rabbim, for everybody else, to lifneichem, for all of Klal Yisrael. It's all in his hands. And a person has to constantly keep that vision in his mind and to see that right now my action, which seems so small and so mundane, if I do the right thing, I just might be that guy who tips the world into the right, into the good place, and brings about bracha. Or, God forbid, I could be the guy who tips it to the left and brings out klal chas v'shalom. Pasha continues in Parak Yedalad, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Bonim atem la'Hashem lekechem. You are sons to Hashem, your God. And the Gemara Ba Basra on Daf Yudam Al, the Gemara says an interesting thing. Gemara says that Klal Yisrael is referred to different ways in the Torah. Sometimes we're referred to as Banim, as sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as children of His. And sometimes we're referred to as Avodim, as His slaves. Says the Gemara, Bizman She'isim Ritzayne Shalmakim. And Klal Yisrael, at the times when Klal Yisrael is doing the Ratzah, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they're referred to as Banim. Bizman she'ein eisim ritzayim shalmakim, at a time when they're not doing Hashem's will, then they're referred to as avadim. And someone say from Shulchan Gavaya, they ask the obvious question that how do you refer to somebody who's not doing God's will as an eved Hashem, a servant of Hashem? He's not a servant. He's not listening. He's doing what he wants. How does the Gemara refer to Klal Yisrael at the time when they're not doing God's will, as that's when they're called an eved? And they explain over there that you have to read the Gemara carefully. The Gemara is not talking about somebody who, God forbid, is not doing the mitzvahs and not doing what Hashem wants. What the Gemara is referring to somebody is somebody who, he does what Hashem wants, he does the mitzvahs, but he's not doing it out of ritzayne shalmakim. He's not doing it because it's God's will. He's doing it out of habit. He's doing it because he has to. He's doing it because that's what everyone else is doing. So therefore, that's when he doesn't get that special status of Bonim La Atem Lashem Akechem. If a person wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him that special Hashgacha Pratas, a special oversight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, a special kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends, a special treatment that Hashem gives to his sons, to his Bonim, to his children, then a person has to do it because he's doing Ritzayin HaShemakam. A person has to do it because it's God's will and he wants to fulfill Hashem's Ratzin. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that Klai Yisrael, when they want to get that special Siyata Dishmaya, special heavenly help and brachas, it has to come when they do the Ratzin Shemakam, when they do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, because it's what Hashem wants and they want to do Hashem's will. The Pasuk continues over there in Perek Gedal, Pasuk Aleph, and the Pasuk says a prohibition of Loises Goydidu, which literally means, as Rashi explains over there, that there's a prohibition that if someone, God forbid, loses a relative and is mourning over that relative, they're not allowed to wound themselves. You can't wound yourself or harm yourself in any way. Although a person is mourning, although a person is sad, he can't inflict any harm upon himself as a sign of mourning. The Gemara, however, in Yevamos, Yidal Amud Beis, darshins this pasuk for a different halacha. The Gemara says, Loises Goydidu teaches us, Loisasu Agudais Agudais. You can't turn into bundles and bundles. What that means is that Klai Yisrael is prohibited from turning into separate groups and separate cliques. And that's why, at least it used to be when I was growing up, that the halacha was that in shuls, on Chalamayit, some people wore tefillin, some people didn't wear tefillin. But they wouldn't daven in the same mishmadrash because it looked like different groups. Some guys do wear tefillin Chalamayit, some guys don't wear tefillin Chalamayit. And it had them in separate rooms. The guys who were davening with tefillin would be upstairs, in the, you know, in one room. Guys davening out tefillin. And then when everyone took over tefillin by halal, then everyone would join together. Because of this problem of Loises Goydidu, of not causing Klai Yisrael to look like it's a bunch of separate groups. So the question really is there any connection between the pshat, the simple idea, iser, of not causing harm to someone's self over mourning over a mace, and this new prohibition of Loises Goydidu, which the Gemara teaches us, of not turning into separate groups? So I saw in the Sefer Meshulchan Gavayi, the Rik from the Kavna Rav, he said a very interesting pshat. He says that ultimately there's one fundamental point. Why would a person come to the point where they're willing to inflict harm on themselves and damage themselves over their mourning over something that someone that they lost? And he explains because the person who lives for himself, a person who lives that life is about myself and I need to, so to speak, enjoy life and be happy. And if, God forbid, something happens that I don't like, something that makes me sad, something that hurts me, that harms me, I'm willing to start destroying myself and harming myself, inflicting pain on myself. But if I can be a person who lives for something bigger, I live for the Klal Yisrael as a group, I don't just live in my own corner, and I recognize I have a mission in this world to do and I have something bigger to take care of, then I'll recognize I don't have the right to go and start harming myself because I need to do something over here. I can't go and start harming myself and inflicting wounds on myself out of my own sadness. And therefore, ultimately, it's all one and the same. A person who can be part of a bigger group, a person who can, so to speak, not make himself into a separate clique on the side, he realizes he's part of something bigger, that same person has the strength to get through a tough time and not inflict harm upon themselves. In Perek Gedal, Pasuk Chavez, the Pasuk tells us, Aser to Aser, tithe you should tithe, take off Miser. And we know the famous drasha, the Gemara tells us, Aser b'shvil shatis asher, a person should take off Miser so that they become rich. So the Vilna Gaon says an interesting pshat. He says that the way the Gemara knows that is as follows, because usually whenever we find a Torah, Torah uses a double language. For example, Haycheach Teichiach, Torah says rebuke, you shall rebuke. The Gemara tells us afilu mea pa'amim, even 100 times. And other places, when Torah tells us something to do something multiple times, it always means to do it. Whenever Torah says something twice, it means to do it in multiples, keep adding more and more. So why did the Gemara understand that here it can't mean that? Because we know the Gemara tells us if a person keeps taking off a tithe, he's going to have nothing left to himself. And a person has an obligation not to take off more than a fifth, the Gemara says. A person is not allowed to keep taking, giving all the stock. A person has to leave himself some. So it must be, says the Gemara, that aser to aser, tithe you shall tithe, you're going to be able, if you take off miser once, you'll be able to take off miser again. How so? Because you're going to get more money. and you're going to take off Meiser again. You take off that Meiser, you're going to keep taking Meiser again. So that's how the Gemara knows, says the Vilna Gaon, that if a person takes off Meiser, the Aser is going to be B'shvil, so that way he'll have more opportunity to take off Meiser, and that's how he'll get richer. I have an aunt who told me recently that this year, I think it was right a year ago or so, she had a goal that she's not going to focus her financial goals on how much money she makes, but on how much Meiser she can give out. And she's calculating her yearly, so to speak, financial goals in, I want to give out X amount of Meiser. I think Baruch Hashem, she told me, she managed to fulfill that goal. So it's definitely a good way to look at it, that it's Aser, B'shvil Shetis Asher, that every time you take off Meiser, you're thinking that I want to have the opportunity to take off Meiser again on a new income. So I want to end off with one last thought. I saw a story brought down with the Rishon Zalman Meltzer. He was sitting at home once, learning with a couple Talmidim, and there's a knock on the door. There was a Mishulach there. So one of the Talmidim wanted to go and open the door, and Rishon Zalman said, no, I'm going to go do it. And he ran himself to go open the door and to take care of the Mishulach. So after the person left, the Talmud asked the Rishon Zalman, he said, I don't get it, Rebbe. Why can't I go open the door? Why do you have to go yourself and open the door? So he told him, I'll tell you like this. The Pasuk says in 6th parasha, in Perek Tzav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says that when it talks about the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says, Ki lo yechdal ev yoy mekar v'aretz. The Torah tells us a fact, so to speak, that there's never going to be a time when there's not going to be any aniyim. There's always, unfortunately, going to be aniyim in the world, and therefore there's always an obligation to take care of them. He said, the way it works is that there is an obligation. Somebody has to be the pauper in this world. There's Akash Baruch who's telling us, there's always going to be somebody who has to play that role. Now, who that is and why Hashem chooses certain people, only Hashem can know. But, says the Rishon Zalman, if God forbid this guy wasn't being the Evyain, then the role might be open, and God forbid I might be the one who has to take that role. So, as long as this pauper is being the pauper, he's being the Evyain, he's, so to speak, fulfilling my obligation, so to speak, or my role of having to be the Evyain. So I have to go open the door for him and take care of him because he's technically, so to speak, doing my job, being there for me. And there, Rishon Zalman says something you have to always look at. God forbid, a person should never be in that situation, but a person should always recognize that we never know why Hashem makes certain people poor and some people rich, but it's a, so to speak, it's a fact that Torah tells us is always going to be there, and we have to view those who, God forbid, are in a greater need than us, that they are supposed to be taking that burden upon themselves, and we have to do the most that we could to help ease that. We should all have a wonderful Shabbos and have only simchas.